Today we honor Saint Thomas the Apostle. It's a great feast because his experience teaches us so much. This apostle who went from being absent to being present, who went from doubt to faith, he reminds us that we who are sometimes absent, if not in body, sometimes in mind, we can become present because the Lord is present. We who have struggled with doubts or with sins, we can overcome by the power of faith. So that's a beautiful feast and a great witness for us. It happens, as I said at the beginning, that today's feast also falls on the first Friday of the month, the day on which we honor the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So we have two avenues into the revelation of the love of God: Sacred Heart, love of God. What Thomas experienced on the week after Easter, the love of God, the mercy of God, or you could say divine mercy. I was at the parish last night after the evening mass, and the women responsible for setting up for today's mass were having quite a little debate about what color to put on the altar, because on First Fridays, the color is on the altar is white, and rules are rules. And yet the other side of the debate was, well, the liturgical color for an apostle, Apostle Thomas, is red. So they were trying to decide what color to put on the altar. I was wise enough to stay out of the debate because I know that kind of thing gets decided by the parish priest. But before I left, they decided that they would, because there's a holy hour, or there was a holy hour early this morning, I think it starts at 5 or 5:30, the apostleship of prayer. So they have the holy hour. They decided to do white for the holy hour, and then right after the holy hour, they would change it to red for the feast of St. Thomas. Well, those are, of course, just little comical bits of trivia. I think it's beautiful that we have both of these at the same time because they both point us in the same direction. The Sacred Heart of Jesus is a revelation of divine love, divine mercy. It's a wounded heart poured out with love for us. That's why when we come before the Sacred Heart, we have an image of him over there, we are consoled. We are reminded that he is here for us. And this is what Thomas experienced. Now, when Jesus appeared to the apostles and Thomas wasn't there, Thomas did not experience the presence of the Lord. He experienced the absence of the Lord. He was still stuck in the Good Friday experience. I know he was crucified. I don't know that he was risen. I haven't seen his Sacred Heart alive again. And unless I do, I won't believe it. He's quite firm about it. But that's exactly where the beauty of divine mercy comes in. God comes to us even when we're in fear or in doubt or in sin. He doesn't stop loving us simply because we stop loving him. He doesn't stop becoming present to us simply because we're absent from him. He presses forward with his love, and that's what he does to Thomas on the eighth day, the Sunday after Easter Sunday, now Divine Mercy Sunday. He comes to Thomas and he says, okay, look here, look at these wounds. Don't just look at them, put your finger right here in these wounds. Put your hand right here. As if he were saying, look deeply into my Sacred Heart. Now, we don't think Thomas put his hand so far in as to physically touch the heart of the risen Lord, although we don't know, but it doesn't seem likely, because he was very quickly moved to faith, to reverence and faith, my Lord and my God. If you're familiar with the icon of Our Lady in the liturgical life, you might know Thomas is one of the figures you can identify on that icon. Not very filled out, but clearly Thomas, if you look at the icon at the very bottom, in the central image of the icon is Jesus crucified and risen, right, and the Eucharist. But down at the bottom, at the left side of Jesus' feet, there's a figure with eyes wide open and almost a joyful expression, and his index finger looks very long. as if he's that finger is all reaching all the way into the heart of Jesus. That's Thomas. If you look on the icon. Well, this experience of Thomas raises a question that's often discussed. Why did Jesus still have his wounds after the resurrection? If he was victorious over sin and death, why was his body not restored to perfection, physical perfection? And there's a lot of ways to approach this. One of the first and one of the most obvious answers is identity. Because if he didn't have the wounds, would he be recognizable as the one who was crucified? That, after all, Thomas said, I won't believe it unless I can see those wounds. If some guy shows up who doesn't have wounds, I won't believe that he's the same one who was crucified. So that's one reason. But a deeper reason is that it's through the wounds of Christ, especially the wound in the heart of Jesus, that his love is revealed. When we encounter the risen Lord, we're not encountering simply a spirit being in perfection. We're encountering a God who became man and took on the punishment of sin, who was wounded for our sake. And he wants us to know that, not to shame us, but to convince us of how far his love goes. If there's no wounds, we don't see how much he loves us. Now there's, as I said, many other ways to approach that, but Thomas certainly got the message. He experienced something like what St. John describes in his first letter. The first letter of John starts out with this description, right? What we have heard. What we have heard, what we have seen, or what we have touched, what we have looked upon, and what we have looked upon and our hands have touched, we speak of the word of life. So this is Thomas hearing, seeing, and touching the word of life. Yes, a man, but also a man who is God. So he professes not simply, I see that Jesus is alive again. He doesn't say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you're alive. He says, my Lord and my God. Affirmation of Jesus' divine identity. It's actually a declaration of faith, not a declaration of a response to evidence. He saw the risen Lord. He believed that this risen Jesus is God. That's what we believe. Now, the Feast of St. Thomas is not only about Thomas, of course. In fact, it's not really about Thomas at all, because Thomas doesn't need a feast day. He's in heaven. We need Thomas. Thomas's feast day is for us. And the readings point us in this direction. At the very end of this gospel, Jesus says, have you come to believe because you have seen me? And the answer is yes, to a certain extent. But Thomas did more than simply see. He made the leap from seeing to believing. Seeing with the eyes, believing with faith. And then Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. That's us. Right? We have not seen in the way Thomas did or the apostles did. We have not seen the risen Lord that way. But we can see him with faith. And blessed are we if we have not seen, but we believe. So blessed are those who make this step of faith. Trust in the witnesses, trust in the word of God, trust in what God has revealed, and then leaping beyond what we can see into what we know by faith. This is also what the first reading points out to us. St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. He's not addressing Thomas here, he's addressing us. You are no longer strangers and sojourners. You are fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. So the foundation stones of the apostles, including Thomas, he's a great foundation stone, because he reveals the difference between doubting and seeing, between seeing and believing. And that's what we need to know. Because if we experience doubt, we might think, oh, now we can't get any further. Yes, we can. Thomas did. If we don't see, we can, and very often we don't see with our eyes what God is up to, or we don't understand what he's up to, we can still believe. Because Thomas shows us the way. We're building on the foundation stone of Thomas and the apostles. And we become this temple in the Lord. The point being, the experience of Thomas is not only for Thomas. It's for us. We are being invited to say, my Lord and my God. To make that declaration of faith in Jesus Christ. If we do that, the feast day bears good fruit. And our devotion to the Sacred Heart bears good fruit. If we don't do that, well, then we're stuck with Thomas and his doubts, and we don't see, and we don't believe. So these are the options set before us. But blessed are we if we have not seen, but have believed.